This is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and classicfm.com. Question number one. It was on this very day, back in 1957, that Elvis did what? Was it A, he recorded his Hound Dog song today? Was it B, his Blue Hawaii film opened today? Was it C, he bought his first pink Cadillac today? Or was it D, he had a tooth cap removed from his lung at a hospital today? 1957, today. Elvis Presley? And question number two, is it possible for an individual to sing two notes at the very same time? A, it is not humanly possible. B, it is theoretically possible, but it's not been done yet. Or is it C, it is not only possible, it is currently being done by some singers? So, which is it anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of May 15th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1946, that the Irving Berlin musical, Annie, Get Your Gun, opened at New York's Imperial Theater for the first of 1,147 performances. And that was 1946 today. And it was 60 years ago today, 1966, that the Beach Boys' album Pet Sounds was released. According to Brian Wilson, the group had decided to call the album Pet Sounds before they visited San Diego Zoo for the cover photo shoot. He says the title was inspired by three things. One, his two dogs whose barks were recorded and used as effects at the end of Caroline No. Number two, Phil Spector, whose initials are the same as Pet Sounds. And number three, the idea that the music on the album was very personal and featured his pet, as in favorite sounds. Both Paul McCartney and John Lennon were impressed by Pet Sounds. Paul said, "It's where the inspiration for Sgt. Pepper's came from." Pet Sounds, released today in 1966. And in country music news, we have this article titled, 1970 Number One Country Hit, Almost Censored on National Television, Ranked Among Greatest Songs of All Time. The deeply personal song became a country classic and sparked controversy on television. This is published on May the 8th, 2026 in Parade magazine by Nina Derwin. Sunday Morning Coming Down, written by Kris Kristofferson, has been named one of the greatest songs of all time by Rolling Stone. Johnny Cash insisted on performing the original lyric, "Wishing, Lord, that I was stoned," on live TV, defying the producers. The song's candid realism redefined country music and impacted future generations of artists. In 1970, a raw and deeply human country song climbed to the top of the charts while narrowly avoiding controversy on national television. "Sunday Morning Coming Down" was written and originally recorded by Kris Kristofferson, but later became a massive hit after being covered by Johnny Cash. The song has since earned recognition as one of the greatest songs of all time, according to Rolling Stone, celebrated for its emotional honesty and vivid storytelling. Kristofferson's track paints a painfully realistic portrait of loneliness, regret, and emotional exhaustion, following a narrator struggling through a hungover Sunday morning. His masterful songwriting stood out for its literary detail, vulnerability helping redefine what country music lyrics could sound like in the 1970s. When Johnny Cash recorded the song, it quickly resonated with audiences and became a number one hit on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart. But one lyric nearly prevented the song from being performed as written on television. Ahead of Cash's performance on The Johnny Cash Show, network executives reportedly objected to the line referencing someone wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. Producers wanted the lyric changed to avoid references to drugs on national TV. There was a bunch of producers standing around, and they suggested, "Wishing, Lord, that I was home." And I said, "That's not the same thing, you know." And John never said a word. He just stood there looking at us. So I didn't know what he was going to do, recalled Kristofferson in a 2007 interview. I would have gone with whatever he wanted to do, but in the show, I was in the balcony up there, and he got to that line and looked up, and he said, "Wishing, Lord, that I was stoned." And I just loved him for that. He saved the song. It would not have been the same thing. That decision became one of the song's most famous moments and reinforced Cash's reputation for authenticity and artistic independence. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, "How Underwater Speakers Are Helping Revive Coral Reefs Devastated by Climate Change." This is written by Ben Tracy, PBS.org, May the 11th, 2026. Coral reefs are essential to the health of oceans, the food supply, and to protecting the coast from storms. But as climate change pushes ocean temperatures higher, reefs are dying, and bleaching events have put them at higher risk. Special correspondent Ben Tracy with Climate Central reports on an unlikely tool to bring reefs back from the brink. It's part of our series, Tipping Point. The following is a conversation between correspondent Ben Tracy, coral sonic resilience artist Mark Barotti, diver Leanne Rando, and Alligator Foundation head Dexter Dean Colquhoun. Tracy begins the conversation by noting that 5 years ago, Mark Barotti began creating sculptures based on 3D scans of coral, inspired by research showing that sound could help revive struggling reefs. Mark Barotti, the coral sonic resilience artist, states, "Sound has always been the core of my work, but never at this level." Ben Tracy notes that a healthy reef is a noisy reef. a symphony of sounds made by fish, shrimp, and other creatures. A dying reef is eerily quiet. Morodi adds, if a reef is alive with sound, it's most likely to stay alive and repopulate. And when reefs degrade, they grow silent. Ben Tracy states, fish and tiny coral organisms use sound to navigate. So the idea is, if you bring noise back to the reef, marine life will follow. It's like hearing the sounds of a really great party. Makes you want to go check it out. I dropped in to watch as they assembled the coral sculptures piece by piece, topping them with the waterproof speakers. This underwater boombox plays recorded sounds of a healthy reef 14 hours a day, powered by solar panels floating above. A similar experiment on the Great Coral Reef saw fish populations double in just 6 weeks. Diver Leanne Rando adds, I'm at the point where let's try everything. Ben Tracy notes, Rando is the second-generation scuba diving instructor. She's worried about what she does not hear down here. Leanne Rando states that it's getting quieter. It's really sad to say that I have seen the degradation a lot in the past 10 years. Ben Tracy points out that reefs cover just 1% of the ocean floor, but support 25% of marine life. They're essential to our food supply and protecting coastlines. Since 1950, we've lost about half the world's coral reefs due to overfishing, pollution, and climate change-fueled bleaching events. A record marine heat wave in 2023 turned Caribbean waters into a hot tub that devastated corals. Diver Rando adds, and as the summer progressed, it just got warmer and warmer. And when you saw it all day, I was like, it was horrible. Yes, it was sad. Tracy notes that Rando captured the footage swimming through the ghostly white reef as tears filled her diving mask, and asks her about that experience. Leanne Rando replies, man, it's just, you feel hopeless. You really do feel like, am I ever going to see this again? Dexter Dean Cole Cuhoun of the Alligator Head Foundation then states, so the locations are really marked out. Tracy adds, the sound project is designed to boost the work of the local Alligator Head Foundation. Dexter Dean Cole Cuhoun is the head of research. Tracy asks, when you first heard that they're going to put speakers down there and play these sounds, what did you think? Cole Cuhoun replies, man, I was excited because, first of all, I am a musician by trade. I'm a pianist, so I believe and I know the power of sound. It basically fits right into what we're trying to do, which is to restore the reefs using as many methods as we can. Tracy then notes, in their lab, researcher Bethany Dean is growing coral fragments and experimenting with breeding coral, because less natural reproduction is actually happening on degraded reefs. Bethany Dean, and so we are looking at how we can bring these egg and sperm together so you can actually have successful reproduction. And Tracy exclaims, so you're like a coral matchmaker. You're helping them do their thing. And laughter ensues. Bethany Dean replies, yes, you can look at it that way. Tracy notes that those coral fragments get attached to the underwater sculptures, which will become part of the reef. A fusion of science and art to replace silence with sound. Rando notes, you have got to stay hopeful, right? I mean, because, yes, I definitely went through that phase where I'm like, oh my God, it's done. But I think there is hope. There are strands of it. Tracy ends, from the PBS NewsHour, I'm Ben Tracy with Climate Central. Wake up, little Susie, wake up. Wake up, little Susie, wake up. We've both been silent. The Everly Brothers, Wake Up Little Susie, introduces our rock and pop music news. The article's title, This Band 1957 Rock Hit is Now Ranked Among the Greatest Songs Ever. This track's misinterpreted lyrics didn't stop its number one mainstream popularity. This is published in Parade magazine on May the 10th, 2026, by Gabriela Silva. The key points? Wake Up Little Susie by the Everly Brothers was banned from some radio stations in 1957. The song's lyrics were considered suggestive, especially in Boston, leading to its ban. Despite controversy, the track topped charts and entered the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2017. Fans may be surprised to learn that every decade has yielded its fair share of songs that were deemed inappropriate for radio play. Rock duo the Everly Brothers recorded and released a hit track in 1957 that was banned from local radio station over its lyrics. Wake Up, Little Susie was originally written by husband and wife country music and pop songwriting team Felice and Brudeau Bryant. The duo had developed multiple tracks for the Everly Brothers in their careers that became hits like All I Have to Do Is Dream and Bye Bye Love. Both tracks were named in Rolling Stone's list of the greatest songs of all time, including their first number one track, Wake Up Little Susie. The lyrics were considered suggestive at the time and resulted in the song being banned from Boston radio stations. In an interview with the Chicago Tribune, Don Everly recalls having been phoned about the track being pulled by stations in Boston, and he thought it was absurd. They called and said it had been banned in Boston, and I said, "What?" I was naive in those days. To me, they just fell asleep at a movie. The misinterpretations weren't uncommon during the 1950s, when teens would often use the drive-in for dates away from prying eyes. Regardless of its ban, Wake Up Little Susie was still a chart topper that ended up being inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2017. Andreas Vollenweider's Steam Forest eases us into our local music news. Upcoming at Dix Park, Raleigh, two items of musical note. Number one, Instrument Zoo. Our hands-on instrument petting zoo invites community members of all ages to explore and try out instruments. Enjoy performances by two youth quartets, followed by opportunities for the public to join in and play along. Stop by Gibson Play Plaza on Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. to jam. And number two, Sound Bath. Enjoy a meditative sound bath session of deep relaxation and inner peace as ethereal tones and harmonious vibrations envelop your senses, soothing the mind, body, and soul. Register for Sunday, May 31 from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at the chapel. Programs and events are free to the public thanks to Dix Park Conservancy donors. So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1957 that Elvis did what? Was it A, he recorded his Hound Dog song today? Was it B, his Blue Hawaii film opened today? Was it C, he bought his first pink Cadillac today? Or was it D, he had a tooth cap removed from his lung at a hospital today? And the correct answer is answer D, he had a tooth cap removed from his lung at a hospital today. An AI overview reports that on May 14, 1957, while filming Jailhouse Rock, Elvis Presley inhaled a porcelain tooth cap that lodged in his right lung. He experienced severe chest pain and underwent an emergency procedure at Cedars of Lebanon Hospital in Los Angeles to remove it, returning to filming shortly thereafter. Key details of the incident include the cause. Elvis hit his tooth while doing a dance routine, specifically sliding down a pole for Jailhouse Rock. The injury. He aspirated a porcelain cap from a crown, which traveled down his windpipe into his right lung. The procedure. A surgeon performed an operation which required navigating past his vocal cords to retrieve the piece. Hospitalization. He was hospitalized for 2 days, from May the 14th to May the 15th, 1957. The aftermath. Elvis wrote a note to the medical staff saying he was all shook up, but grateful for their care. The accident was a significant scare that could have injured his vocal cords, but he recovered fully. And the answer to our second question, is it possible for an individual to sing two notes at the very same time? A, it is not humanly possible. B, it is theoretically possible, but it's not been done yet. Or C, it is not only possible, it is currently being done by some singers. Correct answer? Answer C. Absolutely yes. It is not only possible, it is currently being done by some singers. As noted in a 10/29/21 article by Kyle McDonald, published in ClassicFM.com, titled, "This Incredible Vocalist Teaches You How to Sing Two Notes at the Same Time." It might sound like a vocal impossibility, but you can actually sing two notes at once. And the result is one of the most amazing things we've heard. One singer, one voice, one note, right? After all, we only have one mouth and one voice box. But be prepared to be amazed. German singer Anna Marie Heffele shares the frankly mind-bending possibilities of overtone singing, where one person sings two notes at the same time. The polyphonic qualities are possible when a vocalist is able to manipulate the natural resonances of their vocal tract. As our vocalist explains, multiple notes are possible when the singer sustains a low note while simultaneously singing a high-pitched scale. The result is both enthralling and haunting. Anna Marie's YouTube demonstrations of this technique have really resonated with viewers and people wanting to discover more about this fascinating ability. To date, her videos have had over 20 million views. It is thought that the art of overtone singing originated in Mongolia. The technique is found in the vocal characteristics of Tibetan Buddhist chanting, Kurdistan, and throughout Central Asia. It's also thought to be similar to a now-lost style of Japanese throat singing. The musical traditions of Sardinia, Italy, also utilize overtone singing. As singer Anna Maria explains on a link that's provided, here's what's happening harmonically. And that link is classicfm.com/discover-music/overtone-singing-2-notes-at-once. So, let's close out today's program with more of that sound bath relaxation music. Here is Windham Hill's Winter. So are you relaxed now? Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program's intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information, or to schedule an appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.